From the book of Proverbs. My son, keep your father's command, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Bind them on your heart forever. Fasten them around your neck. When you walk, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will speak to you. For these commands are a lamp. This teaching is a light. And the corrections of discipline are the way to life. Keeping them from the immortal woman, from the smooth tongue of the wayward life. Do not lust your heart after the beauty of, or let her captivate you, her eyes, for the prostitute reduces you to a loaf of bread. And the adulteress preys upon your very life. Can a man scoop fire onto his lap without his clothes being burned? Can a man walk on hot coals without his feet being scorched? Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around you like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen.
All right, good morning. How's everyone doing? Good, all right. As Ryan mentioned, my name is Jacob Lang. I'm one of the pastors at Forefront Church. And really happy to be here with you this morning. I don't know if you know this, but as a pastor, your Sundays are usually full. So it's a rare occasion to get to check out a different church and meet other people and see what you guys are doing. So thank you so much for allowing me to be here. I have a few friends who are here today, too, Mr. Juan Lee and Anna and Allison, so thank you guys. This young lady is my wife right here walking down the aisle, so welcome to you, wife, also. I think some of you guys know Dave Smith, who is a member of this church, and Brent Storms, who spoke once or twice this summer. They helped us get Forefront started about 5.5 years ago, and I've been one of the pastors almost ever since, and just happy to be here with you guys today. This isn't really related to the topic of my sermon, but I just want to say it's really cool that Ryan was able to take some time off this summer, that you guys as the church and as the leaders would let him do that. It shows a lot of health and also a great deal of wisdom to let him do that. And I know that you guys are in the middle of a series right now on the book of Proverbs. And I did my homework. I even went and listened to some of the podcasts so that I would be prepared today. And the book of Proverbs really makes for the perfect summer series. I don't want to get Ryan or anyone else in trouble by saying this, but Proverbs is perfect because not only is it a great book, but there's hundreds of different topics you can cover, and really each week can kind of be its own freestanding thing. And one of the best parts about Proverbs is that it's so practical. The book of Proverbs is almost 100% pragmatic. It's application. And to me, the book of Proverbs is a description of how life works. And that's more or less the definition of wisdom, is it not? Sorry, I'm going to take this off the stand. The book of Proverbs is more or less a description of how life works. And wisdom is the ability to discern the way that life works. Wisdom is having insight on the regular and not-so-regular dealings of life. And when I first got into ministry, I was doing youth ministry with Young Life in the city of Buffalo. And each week we would have one person would come up and share with the youth. And a young person would introduce us. And I'm a little embarrassed to admit this, but I used to insist that whoever was introducing me would say, Jacob is a man with wisdom beyond his years. Or I would have them say, Jacob is the wisest person I've ever known. Some variation of that. And I would make them say that. And I'm a little embarrassed to say that. It kind of makes me think of another proverb that pride cometh before the fall. And, you know, it was a little bit prideful and a little bit silly. But at the same time, it was something that I wanted to be true of myself. I wanted to be known as a man of wisdom. I wanted people to come to me for insight on relationships, for insights on personal dealings, for insights on how the world worked. Wisdom is indeed a noble goal, more precious than gold or silver, a crown of glory for those who attain it. But there's a reason why wisdom is such a great thing. There's a reason why these proverbs are recorded and passed down from generation to generation. And I think that the reason for that is that wisdom protects our path. Wisdom protects our path. That's an expression I want you guys to cling to. Put that in your mind and remember that. It guides us. It guards us. It informs our decisions. It stops us from making self-destructive choices. Wisdom protects our path. A few years ago, Tomi and I were at a marriage retreat with our church, and the speaker for the weekend was a marriage counselor with about 25 years of experience, a really sharp and insightful guy. And in the second or third session of this retreat, the speaker said something that at first seemed kind of painfully obvious, but it was also filled with profound wisdom. And the thing they said, it was something along the lines of, generally speaking, what happens is exactly what is supposed to happen. And maybe some of us are very, like, super spiritual, and we're thinking, well, of course what happens is supposed to happen because God is making sure that everything happens just right. And I'm not saying that's not true, but that wasn't the point that the speaker was trying to make. What happens is exactly what is supposed to happen. What he was actually saying was that, generally speaking, there's a cause behind every outcome. If you do A, then B will happen. If you do C, then D will happen. Just like 1 + 1 = 2. What happens is exactly what's supposed to happen. And just to make the point, I'll give an example of my personal life. This is kind of a confession, but I'm not always the most punctual person. It's not horrible. I don't miss appointments, but I tend to be 5 to 10 minutes late most everywhere I go. And there's a reason for that that maybe some of you could predict. The reason is because I leave 5 or 10 minutes later than I should have, right? I leave late, and therefore I arrive late. What happened was exactly what was supposed to happen. And, you know, there's a rare occasion where maybe I come down into the subway and immediately the train arrives. I get on and it announces that it's running express and I actually get there on time. But even in that case, that wasn't what was supposed to happen. That was just the rare exception. If you eat junk food, you're probably going to gain weight. If you aren't sleeping enough, you're going to be tired. If you spend all your money frivolously, you're going to be broke. Generally speaking, the thing that happens is exactly what's supposed to happen. And this is the value of Proverbs. It's a book that tells us how things tend to work, how things are supposed to happen. And it's not necessarily a guarantee, but the collective wisdom of the text tells us how things tend to work. We get a better sense of what is supposed to happen through the wisdom of Proverbs. Wisdom protects our path because it gives us insight on how things tend to happen based on our decisions, our outcome, our actions, and our life choices. And the scripture reading for today is really all about the consequences of our choices and the protective function of the wisdom of Proverbs. So I know it's on the back of your bulletin if you guys want to follow along with me. This is from Proverbs chapter 6, starting in verse 20. It says, "My son, keep your father's commands and do not forsake your mother's teaching." And I think for us in our culture, we're kind of losing a sense of this, right? In other cultures around the world and historically, we've looked to our elders for wisdom. Our mothers, our fathers, our grandparents, those who are older than us. If wisdom is born out of life experience, then those who are older have more wisdom than we do. And Tomi, my wife, is Nigerian. In their culture, they still very much cling to this. So when we go to Pennsylvania to visit her parents, we know what to expect. We know that inevitably, on every visit, we'll get sat down and for an hour or 2 hours or maybe 3 hours, we'll kind of receive a lecture. And it's not to reprimand us or to force us to do anything, but in their culture, they want to impart their wisdom on us. And this proverb, whatever it is that it's about to say, it's saying to us that treat this wisdom as if your own mother or your own father is telling it to you. So let's see what it says. In verse 21, "Bind them upon your heart forever. Fasten them around your neck." And Proverbs just has like the best imagery, doesn't it? I love the picture that the text evokes here. This advice, this wisdom, attach it to your heart. Put it around your neck. Store it away somewhere where it will always be with you, where you'll always be aware of it. In other words, let this wisdom penetrate you and become a part of who you are. And now we start to see the protective aspect of wisdom. Remember our theme for today, wisdom protects our path. Verse 22, "When you walk, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will speak to you. For these commands are a lamp. This teaching is a light. And the corrections of discipline are a way of life." When you walk, you'll know where it is you're going. When you're asleep, it will be as if someone is watching over you and guarding you. When you're awake, it will be like someone is there with you, speaking to you, giving you advice. The wisdom of Proverbs is like a lamp. And remember, in this time, a lamp was the only way to bring light into darkness. What does wisdom do? What is the role that these teachings play? They are the way of life. They protect us along our path. But even with wisdom, temptation still knocks on the door of our lives. Verse 24, "Keeping you from the immoral woman, from the smooth tongue of the wayward wife. Do not lust in your heart after her beauty, or let her captivate you with her eyes." Now, it just so happens that this text is talking about an immoral woman and a man's temptation to commit adultery with her. And I think that's a major temptation that both men and women face. But I think that this passage of Scripture is pointing also to a deeper and more universal truth. It's not just about sex. This passage is about the decisions that we make that are contrary to the way of wisdom. Those things that we might want to do, but we know that we shouldn't do. This is a passage that's really about the temptation to sin. And this might come as a shock to some of you. Maybe I shouldn't say this on a Sunday morning, but sin often feels good, right? I mean, let me say it again. Sin feels good. Not proud of that, but I think life experience has probably showed. And there's a reason why a person commits adultery. There's a reason why we cheat, why we lie, why we steal, because in some way it feels good. Proverbs chapter 5 says, "For the lips of an adulteress drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end she is bitter as gall, sharp as a double-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lead straight to the grave. Sin is sweet at first. Sin feels good, but only for a time. The very thing that tasted so sweet on our lips soon becomes as bitter as gall. The things that seemed so amazing at the time lead to our own destruction. A part of us really believes that the compromises we make, the illogical and irrational decisions that we know are wrong but choose to do anyways, part of us really believes that it's going to make us better off. A part of us really believes that it's going to make us more successful or more fulfilled. A part of us believes that it's going to make us happier than we are right now. But in all reality, it's leading us straight to the grave. We're on a path of destruction. Proverbs chapter 9 says, "Stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious. But little do they know that the dead are there, and her guests are in the depths of the grave." All right, so I think we got the point across. Let's go back to the main text, verse 26. "For the prostitute reduces you to a loaf of bread, and an adulteress preys upon your very life." And I love that. A prostitute reduces you to a loaf of bread, and you're gobbled up in just a few bites and forgotten just as quickly. Verse 27, "Can a man scoop fire into his lap without his clothes being burned? Can a man walk on hot coals without his feet being scorched?" No. I mean, of course not. No. A man can't really do either of those things. Why? Because what happens is exactly what's supposed to happen. There are specific consequences to our actions. If you play with fire, you're going to get burned. If you mess around with a prostitute, you will be reduced to a loaf of bread. Proverbs reveals to us how things tend to work. But here's the problem. We often prefer the exception to the rule. We're familiar with the rule. We maybe even think that it's a good rule, and we have a sense of how things are going to play out. But we know about that one person. We know about that one exception. Can a man walk on hot coals and not burn his feet? Well, no, he can't. But I know this one guy. Or no, he can't, but I saw this one guy on TV. And because of that one exception to the rule, we somehow think that we can get away with it too. If I just dip my feet in water first, and if I walk really fast, I think I can do it. No, you can't. You're going to burn your feet if you try to walk on the coals. But that's kind of the game that we play. I know that the sweet lips of an adulteress are going to lead to the grave. But a friend of mine, he's having an affair, and he seems happier. I know that the Lord abhors dishonest scales, but a colleague of mine, he was dishonest, and his career is taken off. He got the promotion, and I'm the one who is left behind. I know that greed will bring trouble to my family, but Michael Douglas just looks so cool saying greed is good. And we all want the bigger apartment, don't we? It's true that there is usually an exception to every rule, but Proverbs tells us how things tend to work. Wisdom protects our path, but only if we take it to heart, only if we internalize it and believe it to be true in our lives. Now, I want to make a little caveat right now, just in case this all maybe sounds a little bit legalistic to you guys. I want us to pause for a moment and just to think about that. I think that since we're talking about sin and temptation and the consequences of our actions, it's probably important for us to properly frame the conversation within the truth of the text. And first of all, some of you may disagree with me on this point. You may want to dispute me on it. But to me, when I read the book of Proverbs, I just don't see a lot about heaven and hell and eternal judgment. I don't see it there in Proverbs. What I do see is a lot about the consequences of sin on our earthly lives. I see God's role in blessing and cursing and interacting with us. But what I don't see is a well-developed theology of sin and separation and eternal condemnation. Instead, what I see in Proverbs is a strong, pragmatic appeal that this is how life works. This is how God set life up to work. And this wisdom is going to instruct us on the best way to live. Proverbs is not legalistic in that it's not just a set of laws for us to follow to ensure holiness. It's not a list of to-dos so that we can be righteous in the sight of God. It doesn't determine who's in and who's out. Instead, Proverbs is godly wisdom on living as our Creator intended for us to live. And in a lot of ways, I think what we're talking about this morning is indicative of temptation as a whole. I don't want to downplay the wages of sin. I think that sin is a very serious thing. But at least for this morning, I want to contrast the destruction that comes from folly and the protection that comes from wisdom. So what does the New Testament have to say about this? Our second reading from today was from 1 Peter chapter 5, starting in verse 5. It says, "Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Be submissive to those who are older. It sounds, again, like listening to the instructions of your mother and your father, those who are older and have more wisdom. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Stand firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering." The devil prowls around like a roaring lion. He wants to eat us up like a loaf of bread. He wants to take us down to the grave. I heard someone talk about this verse just a few months ago, and I thought he made a really interesting and insightful observation. He pointed out that lions are actually quiet killers. If you think about the way a lion hunts, it prowls silently, waiting for its prey. When you hear the roar, it's only because a lion has its prey exactly where it wants it. The roar means it's too late. You're already dead. So what does this mean for us? It means that the devil is waiting for us to compromise and put ourselves in a vulnerable situation. The devil's waiting for us to disregard the wisdom that's been taught to us, the good advice that protects our path. Satan is waiting for the opportunity to pounce on us. But for us, there's good news. So let's keep reading. Verse 10. "And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen." So what's the good news? The good news is that we have the power of Jesus Christ on our side. We have wisdom as a guide. We have wisdom to protect our path. And we have Christ to keep us strong, firm, and steadfast. God is constantly there for us. God does not want to see us devoured. God wants us to thrive. God wants us to live a life that is pleasing to him, and a life that's congruent with the way that he designed for us to live. So what does this all mean? What's the application? What do you and I do with this information? Well, first of all, take the wisdom of Proverbs and make it a part of your life. Memorize it, internalize it, bind them upon your heart forever. fasten them around your neck. Think about the way a child heeds the teaching of a parent. Think about how your own children listen to you and observe you and model their lives after you. This is how God wants us to approach the wisdom of Proverbs. Why? Because it will protect our path. It will guide us. It will watch over us. The wisdom of Proverbs will be a light in an otherwise dark situation. Take hold of the wisdom of Proverbs and let it permeate your life. And second, and the final takeaway, allow the power of God to fortify your wisdom. When you face temptation, when you taste the sweetness of sin on your lips, turn to God. Call out to God. Ask for God's power to intervene in that situation. God has not and will not leave us. His presence and his power are with us, but we need to call out to him. We need to ask for that power in prayer. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Sometimes it happens miraculously and spontaneously, but I think more often it happens through God's ongoing work in our heart and in our character. Wisdom protects our path, and God gives us the power to live by that wisdom. The book of Proverbs is not a guarantee for the life that you've always wanted. It's not as simple as quid pro quo, I do this and God does that. But Proverbs does offer us insight on how life tends to work. The book of Proverbs gives insight on how life will work for you and for I. And I hope that all of us can see that this isn't just about moral living. This isn't about us being good, well-behaved Christians. This is about allowing the wisdom of God to guide and protect our lives so that we can experience love and happiness and joy and the fullness of life. Imagine what it would look like for all of us to live in that kind of wisdom. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for the teachings of Proverbs. Thank you that you've given us this text that speaks into the way of life, God, that gives us insight on how things tend to work, insight on the consequences of our actions, gives us guidelines for how to live the life that you've wanted for us. Lord, I pray that we would allow your wisdom to protect our path, that it would guide us, that it would be a light unto our feet, and God, that we would turn to you for power to live by that wisdom, Lord. We know that faith in you is not about trying harder. It's about entering into your presence and allowing your power to become a part of us. So, Lord, I pray that we would open ourselves to you, to your presence in our lives. God, that the words of wisdom found in Proverbs would become part of our identity as your followers, God. And Lord, as in the last few weeks of this series, please just be giving us insight on how things work through Proverbs, God. Lord, we pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.